Hi, Kate O'Toole here from ABC Radio Brisbane. Has anyone ever told you that you can't do something, that you're too old or it's too much of a challenge for you, or you're better off just sticking with what you know? Well, for Julie Brims, that sort of talk just fires her up. And that fire in her belly has fueled a passion for sprinting, something that she only took up when she was 36 years old. And today at 55, she is the fastest woman in her age group in the world, in the 100, 200 and 400 metre categories. And she keeps getting better. Just last week, she shaved a bit more time off her current world record for 100 metres. And she thinks she can get even better. But she's had to fight for this. This shy, quietly spoken woman has had to battle significant illness, including four surgeries on her head 5 years ago. And almost tougher than that, she had to battle ageism to even get a trainer in the first place.
I didn't start athletics until my children took, I took my children to Little A's in Muswellbrook, New South Wales, and they catered for Masters as well. So I started joining in, just doing the odd 100 metres while they were competing on the night as well. So I actually was refereeing basketball in the ABL down in New South Wales, and I thought, oh, maybe sprinting will be a good way to keep my fitness up for refereeing. But then I just grew more and more towards sprinting because it was just so much fun doing an individual event where you didn't have to rely on another person refereeing with you, or, you know, anything that goes on the basketball court. So it was just all you. So I really enjoyed that part of it.
Do you enjoy the act of it too? Like, do you enjoy the way your body feels when you sprint and the mindset that's required?
I do. I probably more enjoy training more than anything, because that's when it doesn't matter who's watching you, whether you do it right or wrong, you're training and you get a lot out of the training. I did find it hard. My first World Championships that I ever went to, I'd qualified. We have heats, semis and finals, and I'd qualified for the final. I was the fastest qualifier, but I'm quite a shy type of person. And when it came down to the final, everyone kept telling me, oh, you're going to win, because on paper I was a lot faster than anyone else. But then, and then they'd tell me, look at the crowd, you know, look how many people are going to be here to watch you. And then I just sort of shrunk. And I got so nervous that I ended up coming third. So that was one thing I took from that, though, was that never to let people get to me again, or, you know, people watching me. So now I just try and hold on to myself and stay in my own bubble and just run my own race.
How did you go from doing a few runs at when your kids are doing Little A's when you're 36 to grabbing world records at 55?
When I was doing the Little A's with my children, I was enjoying just being there and running, and that felt good. But then the person who was one of the main coaches down there, he entered me in a track classic meet in Sydney, I think it was. And I was just this country person who'd never really run in any big meets before, and I went there and I won that race, and it just felt so good to be able to win such a race at that standard, that then I just thought, well, maybe what else can I do? And then I just continued to keep running. And when I moved up to back to Brisbane, I'm originally from Brisbane, that's when it really took off, and I had the opportunity to train on tartan tracks, good tracks, and find good coaches.
How was that process of finding a coach? Was that difficult? Was that easy?
That was quite difficult, I would say, because of being an older athlete. A lot of coaches would see me run and, you know, see me from a distance, and then when they would approach me, they'd say, I'd really like to coach you. And I would think that was tremendous, and I was so excited, and often I would turn up, and then after a while they would say, excuse me, but how old are you anyway? Because they never knew my age. And I would tell them, and they would say, oh, you're too old. I'm not going anywhere with you with this. So, you know, maybe you'll be better off you go back to doing what you do on your own. And I've had a lot of – that has been the worst part, is because I'm so keen to improve myself and get better, but finding someone to take you on has been the difficult part. But
how did you feel when they told you that?
a lot of the time I'd be really disappointed because I was really keen to improve, because I know that if I could get coached properly that I could be better, and it was just so disappointing. And most times I would go off and I would train by myself again. I would train as hard as I could to say, look, if you'd have had me, I would have run these times for you. In fact, in 2015, I'd had some illness and a lady was coaching me. And after my first run back from the illness, she said to me, you must be happy with that time. And me being me, I was like, oh, no, it wasn't that good, because we had a legal tailwind, you know, it was plus 3.5, which brings the time, realistically puts the time out a bit. So it's not as good as it looks. And she ended up telling me that that was my new PB and that I would never, ever run fast again because of my age, and I'm only going to get slower. And I was so disappointed with that, because A, it was my first run back from being really unwell, and I knew I was going to get better, and I didn't accept being told that. So I went out and trained as hard as I could, and I ended up going back to World Championships, which happened to be in Australia, in Perth, and I won the 100 metre women's 50 world title, the 200 metre women's 50 world title, and my times were back as good as they were when I was running 10 years ago.
I'm interested that these disappointments were things that made you, it's almost like you were disappointed in them, but it didn't shake your belief in yourself.
No, that would be true, actually. Yeah, because I believe in myself and I know what I want. And with running, I've always thought, if only someone could teach me how to run correctly. As much as I try to help myself, I'm really just running and I can't see what I'm doing, whether it's correct or not. But yeah, I've always thought that I could be better if only someone could just give me that little bit of a hand.
That shyness doesn't affect the steel that you have inside about what you think you're capable of. It's interesting.
Oh no, definitely not. Yeah. No. No, I don't like being told that you can't do this or you're going to lose or anything like that. That just fires me up inside more. That makes me want to prove them wrong.
And people listening who might have heard you say in 2015 when you were quite ill, we're not talking about a bad flu here. Can you explain the extent of what happened in 2015?
Oh, yes. I developed trigeminal neuralgia, which is an artery and a vein wrapped around the fifth cranial nerve in your brain, and that extends to the trigeminal nerves that run in your face, under, across the top of your mouth and jaw and under your eye. And I got that quite badly, to the point where the medication to stop the pain was actually causing me not to be able to move around. I couldn't drive. I was pretty much a zombie, just trying to control the pain. And in early 2015, I had surgery to correct that. That was the surgery to correct the trigeminal neuralgia went well. However, I did develop complications, and I had a further three surgeries going inside my head to try and fix the problems that had occurred. So it did take me probably most of 2015 to recover from that.
And at any stage in there, were you thinking that you might not be able to run fast again, to have that feeling?
That was possibly the one thing that kept me going, actually, because at the time I was in hospital, the World Championships were on in Lyon, France, and I had planned to go to that one, and every day I would check the results and say, oh gosh, if only I were there. And then I just decided that I am going to run again, because that's what I really, really wanted to do. And that was the one thing, I guess, that pulled me through, because I did have a few scary moments where I ended up being on life support for a few hours, and there were some other things, but that was the one thing that I kept thinking, when I get out of here, I'm going to go back and run, and I'm going to get back to where I was and run just as well.
How does this make you reflect on age and capacity and the way society views all of that?
I think it's a little bit sad, actually, because I know people do statistics on older people, and all statistics say you only get slower as you age. And for me, I think if you accept that opinion, then you won't run faster, and you will just sit back and accept what's been said. But for me, I don't think that's true. I mean, if you have the will to want to go and run fast and you train hard and you put the effort in, I think anything's possible.
You could say that would be true if you'd reached your maximum capacity at an early age. So if you'd been running at your maximum capacity at 20, then maybe your maximum capacity at 55 might be less. But if you hadn't reached your maximum capacity, then who's to say how fast you can go?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I probably would say that would be true if I had run when I was younger. I would have thought, oh, I can never get back to that. But because I've never been there and I'd never been coached properly before, I knew I always had improvements to make.
Do you think... I wonder what would have happened if I'd have run, you know, when I was 20. Like, do you feel like that's a missed opportunity, or are you happy to be having these experiences now? How do you kind of tease that out?
I do get told that, you know, what would happen if when you were younger, and I stop and think, and I think, well, yeah, maybe I could have been something as an athlete, but times were that I chose basketball, and I guess... I can't say I've missed out and I don't regret it because I enjoyed my basketball, but I am thoroughly enjoying what I'm doing now.
And what are your goals? What's next on the horizon?
I've actually qualified for Open National Championships that are in April in Sydney. This time I've qualified for 100 metres and 200 metres, so I'm just really excited that I get the opportunity to go and run against all the young Olympic hopefuls. And I'm right there. I may not get past the first round, but I'm still there and I'm still going to enjoy it.
So you'll be lining up next to the 23 and 4-year-olds that, you know, who are in the peak and they're striving to make the Olympics. And you'll be lining up next to them saying, you better run fast.
yeah, that's true. And I think I might be added motivation for them because I know a lot of the younger ones can't possibly bear the thought that someone my age could come close to them or even beat them. So I do enjoy that aspect, and I know it does motivate the younger ones. So I think that's helpful for them.
How much of a difference has your coach today made? Because you said before that your motivation was saying, if you had taken me on, I could have done these times for you. So what's the bond like between the coach who did take you on?
Oh, I'm so grateful for him to take me because when he asked me, he came and asked me if I'd like to come and run as a training partner to some of the younger athletes. And the first thing I said to him was, well, I'm 53. I'd love to, but I'm 53. And I just waited. And he just shrugged his shoulders and he said, that's fine, I'll see you Wednesday. And I was like, oh my goodness, a coach that's actually going to coach me and he doesn't mind my age. So I've been so grateful every time I turn up to training on time or maybe possibly too early sometimes. I do everything he asks me to do. I train with whoever he asks me to do. And I'm just grateful every day that I get the opportunity to train with him and the younger athletes.
Is there something that we should all take out of your story, Julie? People listening today who feel like they haven't taken it up, they missed an opportunity to do something, that it's too late to try something in their life?
No, I don't think it's ever too late to try. I think if there's a will that's something that you really want to do, I don't think there's any reason why you can't do it. Even if it's just taking a small step forward, an improvement forward each time, if you can take one small step, it doesn't mean you can't keep taking small steps forward. So I think age isn't a limit. We have masters people who run, they're over 100 years old, and they are still putting themselves out there and running and thoroughly enjoying it. So I don't think age should ever be a limit to what you can or can't do.
And that's how you see your future, Julie? Just keep going, keep running and keep competing?
Yeah, I still have certain goals that I've set. I'm still hoping to break 12 seconds and I don't see why I can't if I continue with what I'm doing. And I just, yeah, that's something I just think as long as you can keep improving that small, tiny bit once a week or whatever, you can still keep doing what you're doing.
Julie, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you.